Welcome back, everyone, to the Language and Behavior Podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I have the, what would be the right word, jubilant Charlie Peck as her Bengals won last week and have to be feeling on cloud nine.
Yeah, there's new hope. I mean, this city is just full of new hope. It's fun.
Not only is it fall time and it's a great time of year, but then also there's always a buzz around the city once your team has a good victory.
Yes, for sure.
Unfortunately, the city of Minneapolis did not have the same buzz that I got to go there, see the Vikings, unfortunately lose at the last second. But I will say that it was great to see family, friends. The city of Minneapolis was amazing. So glad to be home. So glad to see you, Charlie. And yeah, I know you've been getting a lot of traction as far as folks sending you questions, and we're picking one this week from your website. So do you want to kick things off?
I sure do. It's a good one. Okay. So it was a school counselor who sent this in, and they said, how does emotional contagion show up in a school building? Like, how does that work? How do we all have that contagion? So usually people, when they ask this to me after I've done a keynote or something, we'll talk about stress. They see that kids will either be self-harming, and then there's contagion about that. But they specifically said emotional contagion, and they were talking about stress. So how does it go from like one person to the next? Is it real? And is it something that you notice in your schools, if you guys are listening and you're noticing that contagion? So here's what I always say. Yes, it can absolutely be a thing. There's a lot of things, especially this was a high school counselor. And so there's a lot of things that show up as contagion when we're working with adolescents. And if you're working in middle school, you get it too. But emotionally, it's about how we feed off of each other. And so we think about that in leading the classroom, leadership in the school, leadership in the district, and any kind of tone that we set is going to be felt by others. So I'm going to ask you this, Josh, and anybody listening, have you ever walked into a building as like the parent, particularly a school building here? Have you ever walked into a building and you're a parent or a volunteer, or you're just visiting, and you can feel the tension of the school? You know, you feel it. So what do you think, Josh? Like, have you ever been a part of that before?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Especially now, Charlie, as we're doing work with schools, like going into a school district, you can feel it just in the front office. I mean, it's evident. And there was a school I was visiting and I was there waiting. And I mean, you could hear a kid yelling and adults yelling at the kid. And, you know, they uncovered something that happened that they lied about. And I mean, that also felt pretty gross in the front office. Unfortunately, it happens, but that also feeds into the culture. And then there was other people also in the office. There were other parents, there were other educators in the front office that also heard that. But to you, what you're talking about, I think culture specifically is contagious also. And seasonal emotions too are contagious. I mean, we're coming up into a very cold time, January, February, seasonal depression. And that's a real thing. And I think, you know, some of those emotions can also be captured by other people, similar to a virus, like you were saying.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like what we do to respond to that is great, but we need to be able to think about how we're going to set the tone of it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of schools we work with, they will start off the announcements in the morning and they'll do like a mindful moment, which I love. I think that's a great idea. What I'd love to see more of there is a little bit more explanation of why they're doing that, what that means for their brain, their body, their emotions, and actually use it for a whole minute. I've heard it in like a whole moment go by in just like 5 seconds before. And so if they're truly going to do a mindful moment, and a lot of them are called that, but there's other things that they do, just like a moment of silence. I want them to really think about how that can be used as a reflection. Maybe it's gratitude one day, things that we know with neuroscience, it's going to actually make change in the brain or get them ready for their first class. And especially if we're working in schools and they're starting so early, some of them are tired. So we might want to be more energetic, put a rapid reset in there, but something that they can use that they understand why they're doing it, but it does set the tone. So that emotional tone of the day, we can have that kind of contagion too. So it doesn't always have to be stress related. It can be like that start that's positive, gratitude, something that is more reflective. So I want people to think of it like that. How do you think you would use that as a leader?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, it was spot on as far as the leadership lens. I would say that, you know, making sure that our staff understood strategies to be able to teach that to the students. I think that's one thing that we just assume our teachers have this knowledge, unfortunately, and that they do this on a daily basis where they're working with kids as far as, you know, regulating themselves, working through tough emotions or stressful situations. But some teachers also think, oh, I'm just going to work through the curriculum and all this other stuff is someone else's job, right? And I think the counselors are probably feeling it, especially right now in this part of the year. And it's probably going to get, you know, worse over the next couple months. But, you know, the teacher then will refer the student to the counselor to be able to take care of that. I think anxiety too is something that is always increasing with our student body. And so a lot of our kids can't even identify that that's the emotion that's really going through their brain. And then they don't have this tools and the strategies to work through that. And so for myself, I had a lot of individual conversations with kids of bringing in my office, let's identify what it is that's going on. And then, you know, here are some strategies similar to what you're talking about, Charlie, as far as, you know, things that you can do throughout the day to help, you know, even simple breathing tactics that they can do individually that no one needs to know that they're doing in the hallway or in the classroom that still helps them to be in the best emotional state in that time. Because school's hard. School's stressful. School can really amplify some of the emotions and things that they're feeling to make them even grander than what they may see at home. So I think for us, it was just as like leadership team to make sure that our staff was equipped to make sure that they had the tools necessary when things happen like this with kids.
Yeah, it's true. It's about teaching kids, but also modeling it for the kids and doing it ourselves, and especially as the adults in the building and the leaders. When you walk in and you see people's face, like you might walk into the building, the hallway, the cafeteria, the bus, the classroom, of course, the library, and all of those great places in a school. What is showing up on our faces? We have to be so aware of that. One of the things I'm trying to do with the teachers and the leaders is get master self-awareness, master that self-control. But we can't have self-control unless we are aware. We all know that. And so mastering that self-awareness is really crucial. So the work you and I are doing with the districts, remember the one cohort last week, we were doing that team meeting. So we meet every month and we have everyone practice a skill. And then we get together and talk about how that skill went, where we're on self-reflection with this one group. And so it's about challenging ourselves to catch ourselves and notice what we actually look like to other people or sound like or positioned or how we feel in the moment. They're all so simple things to remember to do. But if we don't, then we don't master self-control because we can't even get to that control part. And I think it is important. I used to kind of shy away from that word self-control because I just thought that that was so much weight to carry. But really, that's what we all need to do in these helping professions is have that self-control so that we can show up the way we need to. And we feel more energized and equipped when we do that.
Well, I mean, I think the cohort model that we're doing right now, I mean, one, we're getting a ton of great feedback. But two, I think they're surprised that there's so much work individually on themselves. I think there was misconception, right? Of like, oh, we're going to do things to other folks versus, no, the first step is really mastering the skills for ourselves. And so I think also what they're finding is how powerful it is to be in a group of other people and being able to share out, being able to share the skills that they've noticed, the progress that's being made. I mean, I think that's the other thing to battle some of this contagious emotional negativity or stress is that you have people to lean on during those tough times to be able to get through that. And so, you know, if you're an adult and you're feeling that right now, does that exist for you? And if not, where can you go to get that support, you know, during these tough times? Same for our students. We live and work in a space that's all about human relationships. And so when some of that group dynamics are not there for folks, it's hard. It's hard to navigate just life in general. And so it might be something that you might want to think about not only for yourself as the adult, but also with your student body.
Yeah. And I like the idea of co-regulation too here. I think that's important for to say when we're talking about contagion, we have more self-control and then we can show up and model in that for other people. So as leaders, or even department heads can do that. But of course, like with students and stuff. So if we think about it of showing up and understanding ourselves, how we're appearing to others, how we're in control of ourselves, that co-regulation piece becomes extremely powerful. It's a good positive thing that we can do to radiate that change. And a whole wave of change can occur if we're using the same language, we're using the same skills, the same tools, and practicing this with them. So instead of saying something like calm down when you notice somebody's dysregulated or getting to that point, then we just can say something like, let's take a break together, or let's take a pause and think about what we're going to do next together. And notice I use the word we, and that we're in this together. It's not just a, you're a problem. Stop doing that. It's a, let's figure this thing out together. I'm in this with you. And so when we model that behavior that we want, that contagion becomes very positive in the whole culture of the school. It takes a little time. And actually going back to that cohort that we're working with that you mentioned, I mean, we spend 3 months on the individual, on the self. And so some people, when we're working with principals or even district leaders who hire us or superintendents, they're like, 3 months? Yeah, it has to start there. It has to start with the self, because we're all leaders in some capacity. And so that contagion has to be positive, and we have to know how to do that and be confident in doing that and have the skills ourselves. So it just makes sense to me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I love what you were talking about. Like, we're talking about contagion in the negative, but there's also contagion in the positive, right? And we had that power to flip that. I wanted to let you know that if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're consuming this in Spotify, you can actually put comments underneath. And so we'd love to get your ideas. So what do you think about this? You know, have you seen this firsthand? And if so, what are you doing to combat it and make sure that you're flipping it to the positive versus the negative during some really peak emotional times within the calendar year? So we'd love to hear your input. And then Charlie, if you're ready, I'd love to jump into Behind the Banter.
Let's do it.
All right. All right. Since we're talking about skills, if you could instantly master any skill, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. Master instantly any skill. Instantly.
You know, like the Matrix, they just like load it into your brain.
I got this. Ready?
All right. Let's hear it.
Patience. Patience. I would love to be patient. I think it's worked to my advantage sometimes not to be patient, but oh my gosh, if I could be patient, that's what I would love to master.
I feel like you're a pretty patient person, Charlie. Oh. I don't know if you're giving yourself all that credit.
Oh no. Then I can contain it. And
so you're masking, is that what you're doing?
Yes. Thank you. I'm masking. And if anybody's listening to this who can relate to that, and that you struggle with patience, especially in a helping role, we have to show up. Like, as a therapist, I have to tell myself to be patient, because what I want to do is say, just fix the problem like this. Just do that. Why wouldn't you do this? And there just takes extreme self-control and that self-awareness to have that patience, which, by the way, I have definitely gotten much better over the years with some maturity and reflection and practice. But it is.
There's hope, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about you, Josh?
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind was just being able to be fluent in different languages. I don't know why. That popped in my head. But
you're learning French, everybody.
I'm trying. I'm not very good at this. I will be completely honest that I'm not very good at it. But yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to be able to do, but I've always struggled with it. So I'm not being very patient, but I am trying to be very determined in trying to do this. But it made me think of Napoleon Dynamite and my skills, you know, nunchuck skills, drawing skills.
Dancing, stage. Oh my gosh. Anyway. I just see that vision right in front of me. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I just showed it to some of my kids, and now they quote it, and it brings joy to my heart. I'm not going to lie. All right. I will move on. So Charlie, if folks don't know, we have a free book study for our book, The Language of Behavior. And so this is definitely a time for folks, and we've heard this firsthand, that, you know, folks are looking for a resource with student behavior, working through some of these things. And so we want to make sure that we are providing a free resource for you. A lot of folks have taken the opportunity to download this. And so I'm going to throw it up on the screen here for those who are watching YouTube. Of course, I'll have this also in the show notes, but there's a free book study kit. You can go to thrivingeducator.org/books. And then also, you know, you have the opportunity to either purchase one book or a whole bulk order for your staff or for a small group on your campus, and use that study guide to work through that. And a lot of folks have found success in that, not only in middle schools, elementaries, high schools, but also at the college level, as we've got a lot of new teachers that are going through that on multiple campuses. So we're super excited about that. Love the impact that's already making. Of course, if there's anything that we can provide too, please let us know. Charlie, do you want to talk about the book study kit real quick as far as what they're going to download?
Yeah. And it comes from people who are just like, listen, I want to run this. It takes a lot though to get started. And we said, wait a minute, we're going to make it super easy for you. We want to give you a facilitator guide, worksheets that you can just print off, reflection questions. Like, it's a whole kit, even email templates. You can get those too. And if you do a bulk order, our publisher is going to give you a good discount. So make sure you at least just fill out the form there. You can go to thrivingeducator.org/books. Super simple. Just go check that out. We want to make this simple, and it's good information. People are using it, yeah, on college campuses a lot of traction there. And we just want you to be able to use it too if you want.
Yeah, if you're getting like 10 or more, don't go to Amazon. I mean, that's great. We appreciate it, but you can get a discount with our publisher. So there's a link there for you. Super simple and easy to get that sent to you guys. Charlie, do you want to end this episode with words of wisdom in relation to the question that we got today?
Absolutely. All right, leaders. Your tone absolutely sets the climate. And so start every meeting with something simple too. So if you want the whole climate of the school to have contagion in a good, positive way, start with something. Don't make it too hokey. Make it something they can use. And remember, people are kind of sick of hearing, well, just breathe. But if you're going to show it to them, show them their neurological benefits of it. They'll have buy-in when you do that. And just start your meetings that way so that they can take it out into their classrooms and the hallways and everywhere. Keep it simple, but meaningful.
For sure. And if you're going to provide a new strategy, make sure there's time that they get to actually practice it versus it's just one more thing on their plate. So I want to throw that little caveat in there. All right. If you need anything from us, of course, we're available. We love folks reaching out. You can reach out to Charlie through her website at thrivingeducator.org. Ton of resources there also, or you can go over to joshchamber.com/language-of-behavior. And if you have a question in the future, of course, like I said, for this counselor, you can go through our websites and ask us those questions, or we have a form for you that's super simple, bit.ly/LOB questions. So either way is fine. We'd love getting questions to be able to answer on the podcast, and we'll continue to do that. And then, yeah, Charlie, I don't know if you saw the numbers, but we keep seeing an increase each month. So thank you everyone for listening and then also sharing this out. It means a lot to us as we're trying to do our very best to make sure that we have content that's relevant and something that can help you in the classroom tomorrow. And with that, we will see you again next week.
Bye, everyone.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.